بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. All praise is to the one to whom all dignity, honor and glory due, the unique with perfect attributes. He begets not, nor was he begotten. He has no equal, but he is the Almighty. All affairs are managed according to his wisdom, and there is no support with him. I testify that there is nothing worthy of worship except Allah, to whom belongs all the praise, and he has power over all things. I testify that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his servant and messenger, who was sent as a warner and as a lamb, giving the light of guidance and as a caller to Allah. May the blessings of Allah be upon him, his family and his companions and those who follow them sincerely until the resurrection day. Ameen. Today, inshallah, we will continue to learn about Allah's mercy, and the title of the class is The Secret of Allah's Mercy. At the beginning, sister, we must all admit that it is the mercy of Allah, the most merciful, to grant us the opportunity to learn the knowledge about His mercy and grace, so we must be thankful to Him all the time. Actually, we must all appreciate Allah's mercy, as Allah's mercy is the cave where the spirit can hide, the shelter where the spirit can take rest, and it is the river which provides the spirit with the sweet water. Regarding these facts, we will learn the proofs, inshallah, from the Holy Quran. Last week, we learned that Allah's mercy is the will of Allah to flow security, reassurance, tranquility, and peace in the deep inside of the spirit all the time. That is to say, at the time of adversity and the time of prosperity. We will, inshallah, continue to learn about forms of Allah's mercy so that we can realize how great is this mercy, and to try to obey Allah and follow His rules, as Allah is the source of all the mercy in our life, as Allah said in Surah number 16, verse number 53. So we recite now from Surah number 16, verse number 53.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. وَمَا بِكُم مِّن نِّعْمَةٍ فَمِنَ اللَّهِ ثُمَّ إِذَا مَسَّكُمُ الضُّرُّ فَإِلَيْهِ تَجْأَرُونَ
صدق الله العظيم.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. And whatever you have, whatever you have of favor, it is from Allah. Then when adversity touches you, to Him you cry for help.
So actually, Allah is clarifying to us that all the favors which we have in our life are from Allah. These are the forms of mercy of Allah, the Almighty. Last week, we learned that Allah created mankind and honored him through the breath of Allah's spirit in their father, his father Adam. Also, we learned that Allah, out of His mercy, He made all the resources and forces in the universe to be subservient to man. Let us now recite, sisters, from Surah number 16, from verse 10 to verse 18, to remember about the resources and forces of the universe which Allah made it subservient to man.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. هو الذي أنزل من السماء ماء لكم منه شراب ومنه شجر فيه تسيمون ينبت لكم به الزرع والزيتون والنخيل والأعناب ومن كل الثمرات إن في ذلك لآية لقوم يتفكرون وسخر لكم الليل والنهار والشمس والقمر والنجوم مسخرات بأمره إن في ذلك لآيات لقوم يعقلون وما ذرأ لكم في الأرض مختلفا ألوانه إن في ذلك لآية لقوم يذكرون وهو الذي سخر البحر لتأكلوا منه لحما طريا وتستخرجوا منه حلية تلبسونها وترى الفلك مواخر فيه ولتبتغوا من فضله ولعلكم تشكرون وألقى في الأرض رواسي أن تميد بكم وأنهارا وسبلا لعلكم تهتدون وعلامات وبالنجم هم يهتدون.
Bismillahi r-Rahmani r-Rahim. It is He who sends down rain from the sky. From it is drink, and from its foliage in which you pasture animals. He causes to grow for you thereby the crops, olives, palm trees, grapevines, and all of the fruits. Indeed, and that is the sign for a people who give thought. And He has subjected for you the night and the day and the sun and the moon and the stars, and subjected by His command. Indeed, and that are signs for a people who reason. And He has subjected whatsoever He multiplied for you on the earth of very varying colors. Indeed, and that is a sign of for a people who remember. And it is He who subjected the sea for you to eat from its tender meat, and to extract from it ornaments which you wear. And you see the ships plowing through it, and He subjected it that you may seek of His bounty, and perhaps you will be grateful. And He has cast into the earth firmly set mountains, lest it shifts with you, and made rivers and roads that you may be guided, and landmarks, and by the stars they are also guided. Then is He who created like one who does not create. So will you not be reminded? And if you should count the favors of Allah, you could not enumerate them. Indeed, Allah is forgiving and merciful.
Actually, sisters, from these verses of the Quran, it is very clear that Allah, the Almighty, He made all the resources and all the forces in the universe to be subservient to man. And actually, this is a form of Allah's mercy, as Allah mentioned in the last verse which we just recited. And if you should count the favors of Allah, you couldn't enumerate them. Indeed, Allah is the most merciful. Actually, sisters, if we try just to focus on the rain, we must agree that rain is the source of the soft water which we drink. It is the water of the clouds which Allah sends to us in due measures. We must realize, sisters, that the source of life is the rain, because the rain is the source of the soft water. And the amount of the rain is up to Allah's wisdom and up to Allah's command. And Allah sends to us the rain in due measures. So we must be all the time very close to Allah and calling on Him to send for us the rain, okay, so that the amount of the rain will be enough for us. Otherwise, you know, if the rain is little in amount, okay, we will all suffer, as it is sometimes happening. We will recite now from Surah number 23, verse number 18 and 19, to realize that the amount of the rain is up to Allah, and the rain is a form of mercy of Allah. Surah number 23, verse number 18 and 19. Surah number 23, Surah Al-Mu'minun. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Find it? Okay. Verse number, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, 18 and 19.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. وأنزلنا من السماء ماء بقدر فأسكناه في الأرض وإنا على ذهاب به لقادرون فأنشأنا لكم به جنات من نخيل وأعناب لكم فيها فواكه كثيرة ومنها تأكلون.
Actually, sisters, Allah the Almighty is clarifying to us and saying about Himself and we. We is Allah the Almighty. Allah the Almighty is the one sending down the rain from the sky in a measured amount, okay? And settled it in the earth. So Allah is the one sending it, and Allah has the power to make it to settle down. And then Allah is saying, and we are able to take it away. So it is all up to Allah, and it is all a mercy from Allah the Almighty, okay, to send for us the rain. Then Allah is clarifying for us that the rain is the form of the gardens, the form of the fruits which from which we all eat. So it is proof, these two verses of the Quran is the proof that out of His mercy He is sending for us the water, which is the source of the fruits and the for which we eat. So all our life is depending upon the mercy of Allah the Almighty. We will recite again from Surah number 36, from verse 33 to verse number 35, to learn about the mercy of Allah regarding the food which we eat. Surah number 36. I am trying to give you as much as we can from the verses of the Quran, so that inshallah you are familiar with the laws of Allah and with the facts which Allah is sending to us in His book to make us more close to Him and to appreciate His mercy. Surah number 36 from 33 to 35.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. وآية لهم الأرض الميتة أحييناها وأخرجنا منها حبا فمنه يأكلون وجعلنا فيها جنات من نخيل وأعناب وفجرنا فيها من العيون ليأكلوا من ثمره وما عملته أيديهم أفلا يشكرون.
And a sign for them is the dead earth. We have brought it to life and brought forth from it again, and from it they eat. And we placed therein gardens of palm trees and grapevines, and caused to burst forth therefrom some springs, that they may eat of this fruit, of His fruit. And their hands have not produced it, so will they not be grateful?
So actually, since Allah the Almighty is clarifying in this verse of the Quran that He is the one who is bringing the dead earth into life. Okay, so life is a miracle which no man can produce. It is only Allah's hands that produce miracles, initiating life in what has been dead. Okay, so this is also a source of Allah's mercy. And also from Allah's blessings is that, or forms of Allah's mercy, that Allah is creating all mankind devoid of all the knowledge. Even the most advanced scientist is still born without any knowledge. Whatever he or she will learn, it is a blessing from Allah the Almighty. And it is still within the limits. Okay, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the limits which Allah has set for the mankind. So this is a form of Allah's mercy that He is allowing us to learn and to have the knowledge. Okay, but still it is up to the limits of the human being. We will recite about that fact, that the mercy of Allah to give us the opportunity to have the knowledge. First we will recite about our father Adam, how Allah the Almighty gave him this opportunity to have the knowledge, from Surah number 2, Surah Al-Baqarah, verse number 31, and then we will learn about the knowledge of all the mankind. We will start by learning from Surah number 2, Surah Al-Baqarah, verse number 31.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. وَعَلَّمَ آدَمَ الْأَسْمَاءَ كُلَّهَا ثُمَّ عَرَضَهُمْ عَلَى الْمَلَائِكَةِ فَقَالَ انْبِئُونِي بِأَسْمَاءِ هَؤُلَاءِ إِن كُنْتُمْ صَادِقِينَ. قالوا سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. And he taught Adam the names of all of them. Then he showed them the angels and said, inform me of the names of these if you are truthful. They said, exalted are you, and we have no knowledge except what you have taught us. Indeed, it is you who is knowing, the wise.
Okay, so actually here, sisters, Allah is clarifying that He is the one who taught Adam the names of all the things, okay? And then when Allah asked the angels about the names, they said, exalted are you, we have no knowledge except what you have taught us. So Allah is the source of the knowledge, and this is out of His mercy that He gave us the opportunity to have the knowledge and to learn. Also, we will recite from Surah number 96, verse number 5, to know about that fact, that all the knowledge which human beings are having are up to Allah. So the scientists or the advanced scientists are not supposed to say that we don't believe in God, okay, because we have the ability to have the knowledge, okay, and the knowledge is up to our effort and up to our mind and up to our intelligence, okay. This is wrong theory, because all the knowledge is up to Allah. It is out of His mercy that He gave us the opportunity to learn. We will recite now from Surah number 96, verse number 5.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم علم الإنسان ما لم يعلم.
You can read 3, 4, and 5 so that we can feel it more.
اقرأ وربك الأكرم الذي علم بالقلم علم الإنسان ما لم يعلم.
Okay. It's your turn. Oh. Your turn. Okay.
Recite in your Lord is the most generous, who taught by the pen, taught man that which he knew not.
So actually, sister, this is a Quranic law. Allah is clarifying that Allah is the one who taught man that which he knew not. Okay, so no one is supposed to say, you know, I am the source of knowledge, I taught myself, I have the ability, okay, and there is no God. This is the problem, that the more the people are advanced in science, the more they are away from Allah, and the more they refuse to admit that everything is up to Allah or up to one God. Okay, so this is a clear law from the Holy Quran that Allah is the one who taught man which he knew not. Also, yes.
I just remembered my niece this morning. She told me that 1 year ago, doctor told her you cannot have children.
Okay.
Now, in a few weeks, she's going to deliver. So, subhanAllah, it's not that people decide, Allah decides.
Yes.
So this is just an example of, alhamdulillah.
And subhanAllah, and this is actually, it happened also to my cousin that she was treated for more than 10 years. And after 10 years, the doctor told her that, I'm very sorry, we tried everything, and you must admit that there is no hope for any babies. Don't spend more money, more time, more effort. It is closed. We tried everything for you, and you will never get any baby. And actually, after 6 months, she was pregnant, and she was pregnant twice. You know, and she had a boy and a girl now. Okay, subhanAllah. So, you know, I agree with what Ghada now said, that you must believe that everything is up to Allah and the knowledge is up to Allah. So, you know, don't follow the physicians, you know, all the time regarding the feeling that they have all the knowledge, and when they say, yes, you can, so you can, not you can't. No, it is not up to them at all. But actually, this is the problem, is that most of the physicians or the advanced scientists, they are so proud, okay, and so arrogant that they refuse the existence of God, and we are gods. Actually, when you talk to them, they feel that they are the one whom they decide, and they are the one whom they have the knowledge. And when they say there is no hope, it is no hope. And actually, Allah always, out of His knowledge and out of His wisdom, proves to them that you are wrong, and it is only up to Allah. And this is the importance of believing in the Holy Quran and believing in the unity of Allah, that so long Allah is there is hope, inshallah. Okay, to continue, inshallah, to learn about the blessings of Allah the Almighty, we must know that Allah's mercy is already seen, as He had sent the messengers to guide the people to the right path. And sending messengers to humanity is a form of Allah's mercy. And we will recite from Surah number 16, verse number 36, to know about this fact.
And verse number
10. Surah number 16, verse number 36. اوكي انا هقراها يلا. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ولقد بعثنا في كل أمة رسولا أن اعبدوا الله واجتنبوا الطاغوت فمنهم من هدى الله ومنهم من حقت عليه الضلالة فسيروا في الأرض فانظروا كيف كان عاقبة المكذبين.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. And we certainly sent into every nation a messenger saying, worship Allah and avoid taghut. And among them were those whom Allah guided, and among them were those upon whom error was deservedly decreed. So proceed, travel through the earth and observe how was the end of the deniers.
We will know again about the fact that Allah's mercy is seen as He had sent the messengers to guide the people to the right path. We will recite from Surah number 21, verse number 25. Surah number 21, Surah Al-Anbiya. This is the chapter of the prophets, verse number 25.
أرسلنا من قبلك من رسول إلا نوحي إليه أن لا إله إلا أنا فاعبدون.
And we sent not before you any messenger except we revealed to him that there is no deity except me, so worship me.
Allah the Almighty, out of His mercy, He sent the messengers to the humanity with the message of believing in Allah's oneness, which is the real mercy to mankind. To have only one God, the one who creates, who knows, who owns and plans everything. You can reach Him at any time, and He is the most merciful, the all-forgiving. So this is a form of Allah's mercy, and we will also learn that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the last prophet, he was a mercy to mankind, clarifying the way of life to the true believers. Allah mentioned that fact in the same surah or the same chapter, chapter 21, which is the chapter of the prophets, verse number 107. Okay, you find it?
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وما أرسلناك إلا رحمة للعالمين.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. And we have not sent you, O Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, except as a mercy to the worlds.
So actually, sisters, Allah is clarifying that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is just a mercy to mankind. Because Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he is the one who taught us the way to live our life, believing in the oneness of Allah and doing the good deeds all the time. Also, from the forms of Allah's mercy is the Holy Quran. The Holy Quran, the message of mercy to mankind, the guidance to the right path, the laws of the most wise, and the light to the hearts. We must believe, sister, that the Holy Quran is the cure and mercy to the spirits. We will recite now from the Holy Quran to learn about that fact. Allah mentioned in the Holy Quran that the Holy Quran is the cure and mercy to the spirits, and I will clarify to you now, inshallah, about that fact. But let us first recite from Surah number 16, verse number 64. Surah number 16, verse number 64. 16, 64.
وما أنزلنا عليك إلا لتبين لهم الذين اختلفوا فيه وهدى ورحمة لقوم يؤمنون.
And we have not revealed to you the book, O Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, except for you to make clear to them that wherein they have differed, and as guidance and mercy for a people who believe.
So Allah the Almighty is clarifying that He had revealed the book to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam as a form of guidance and mercy for the people who believe. Okay, we will recite again from Surah number 17, Surah Al-Isra, verse number 82 to know about the fact that the Holy Quran is a cure and mercy to those whom they believe. Surah number 17, verse number 80.
وننزل من القرآن ما هو شفاء ورحمة للمؤمنين ولا يزيد الظالمين ولا يزيد الظالمين إلا خسارة.
Surah number 82.
Surah number 17, verse number 82.
Okay. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, and we send down of the Quran that which is healing and mercy for the believers, but it does not increase the wrongdoers except in loss.
Actually, sisters, nowadays when you try to look around to find a way of life to follow, it will be only the laws of the Quran, which are the laws of compassion, patience, forgiveness, care, love, and trust. These laws are actually the way to have a merciful heart, to be close to the most merciful, and to feel His mercy. So again, sisters, we must believe in that fact, okay, that the Quran is the guidance to the mercy and to cure of all the problems, okay? But if you don't believe in this fact that I will feel the mercy of Allah when I recite His book and when I believe in the laws of that book, okay, you will never follow the Quran in your life and you will be misguided. And you can live a life as most of the people are living, eating, drinking, living for the enjoyments of the worldly life. But your heart will never be alive, because your heart is alive when it is connected with the Lord, the most merciful. You will feel the mercy of Allah when you are connected with Allah. And when you will feel the mercy of Allah, this will give you the hope. This will give you the encouragement. This will give you the reassurance. This will give you the feeling that I am strong. I can continue life. I have manners. I have values. I must follow them. Okay, but if you don't have a guidance in your life or a guidance or a book of the laws which I am following, so one day you can follow the right path. Next day you can follow the wrong path. Why? Because I am every day, up to the people around me, up to the circumstances. Okay, but this is wrong. Okay, this is not the way to live a good life. And you will be always unstable. And you will be always in a up and down mood. Why? Because there is no book of guidance to follow. Okay, if I have a book of guidance to follow, okay, this will be my reference. So I have a reference. So long I have a reference, so long I have laws in life to follow, I will be stable. Okay, because I always return to my reference. But if I don't have a reference, so one day Ghada is my reference, next day Hanin is my reference, third day Brother Mahmoud is my reference, still we are in the masjid. Still we are with good people. But if we go outside, I don't know who will be my reference and how he will direct me. So all the time try to have a reference in your life, the book of the laws which I am following. And the only book which I can follow is the book of the one who creates life, who knows life, who knows everything, who plans everything. Allah the Almighty, up to Him is everything. And actually, sister, there is a verse of the... All the verses of the Quran are the verses of wisdom and guidance and the cure. But there are some laws in the Quran which you, when you believe in, it will make your life more easy. You will get rid of the feeling of worry, sadness, lonely, okay? You will be more stable and you will be accepting your life in a more better way. You will have mental peace. You will have a feeling of relaxation. Actually, just yesterday I was mentioning that verse to my daughter. Let us just recite that verse, one verse of the Holy Quran, so that inshallah you will be always feeling that the Holy Quran is a mercy from Allah. I must be connected to that source of mercy so that inshallah I will have the feeling of the mental peace and reassurance. And this is the only source for your spirit and for your heart to feel mercy, to feel reassured, to feel stable, is either by recitation of the Holy Quran from the depth of your heart, or when you pray to Allah and you connect with Him during the prayer, during Salat. These are the only two ways to have your heart connected to Allah, so that Allah will shower you with His mercy, so that you will feel the hope in this worldly life and the trust in Allah. Otherwise, you will be living. Okay, and you are working, and you are earning money. You have a house and a car. Okay, as most of the people, the goal of everyone now is, you know, the materialistic issue. I have a house, I have a car, bigger house. I need a family, I want a husband, I want kids. Very good. You may have everything. But if you are not showered with the mercy of Allah, all these worldly enjoyments will be against you, will not be the source of reassurance and happiness and tranquility. They will be the opposite. And I will clarify to you this fact now from the verses of the Quran. But just let me give you one verse of the Holy Quran which can be a source of tranquility and peace to you all the time. Whenever you feel that you are unstable, you are worried, so worried, recite this verse of the Quran. It will help you a lot as a proof that the Quran is a source of mercy. I will give you now, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, in verse number 51. All the time, sisters, try to have that verse of the Quran clear in your spirit. All the time. I will recite for you, Rahana. I will recite it to you so that inshallah I can explain it to you in details. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. قُلْ لَنْ يُصِيبَنَا إِلَّا مَا كَتَبَ اللَّهُ لَنَا هُوَ مَوْلَانَا وَعَلَى اللَّهِ فَلْيَتَوَكَّلِ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ. I will say it in English so that I can clarify it to you. Say, this is from Allah to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam and to all the Muslims. Never will we be struck except by what Allah has decreed for us. Okay, this is a Quranic law. This is a fact. We will not be struck, okay, except but by what Allah has decreed for us. So the question is, any human being can change Allah's decree? No, none. None can change Allah's decree. So no one can interfere with what Allah has decreed for me. So I am not supposed to be worried or to have fear from any human being or from any circumstances, because nothing can prevent what Allah had decreed for me. Whatever Allah had decreed for me, I will face it. I will live it. Okay? So long, this is the fact, and Allah has decreed everything for everyone 50,000 years before the creation of the earth. So it is over. So why I am worried? I am worried about something already decreed for me and none can change it. I am supposed to be relaxed. I am supposed to be accepting what will happen to me. So when you come to me and tell me, Sister Mona, what you will do after 6 months, if you feel that you cannot walk well or if any problem can happen to you, I will tell you, sister, whatever will happen to me, okay, it is what Allah had already written for me. I can't escape it. And when the time will come, inshallah, out of His mercy, He will make it easy for me and He will make for me a gate. So He will tell me, Sister Mona, why you are so sure that Allah will make open for you a gate of His mercy at that time? I tell you, because I am sure, because I knew Allah very well. I knew that Allah is the most merciful. I knew that Allah is showering His obedient servant with His mercy all the time. So long I am an obedient servant to Allah, I am not worried about the future, because the future will come according to what Allah had decreed for me. None can change it. I can change it. Any other human being cannot change it. So the relation between me and the future is between me and Allah. And Allah promised many times in the Holy Quran that whoever is obedient to Him, Allah will make it easy for you. Whether it is adversity or prosperity, He will make it easy for the true believers. And Allah said that His mercy is very close to those whom they are true, sincere servants. So my duty in the worldly life is not to worry, not to have fear. My duty is to be a sincere, obedient servant to Allah. So long I am trying to be an obedient, sincere servant to Allah, Allah will shower me with His mercy all the time, and Allah will give me the feeling of the trust in Allah. It is from Allah, and I am obedient to Him. He promised His mercy to me. I have full trust in Allah. Inshallah, after 6 months, everything will be the best. Why? Because this is the promise of Allah, the Almighty. He is our protector. Allah is still giving us the message of reassurance. He is our protector. Okay? And upon Allah, let the believers rely. So Allah is calling on every one of us to rely on Him. So why I am worried? So why I have fear? So why I am looking for the best doctor to tell me his point of view, or for the best physician to tell me how long I will live, or about any human being to tell me that he will not cause harm for me? No, I am not looking for any promises from human beings. I am putting all my rely on Allah, as He commanded us in the Holy Quran. And upon Allah, let the believer rely. So if you want to prove to Allah that you are a true believer in Him, rely on Allah. Have trust in Allah. Put all your hope in Allah the Almighty. Always be expecting the mercy of Allah. During the severe darkness, I am still expecting the mercy of Allah, because Allah is my protector and He commanded me to rely on Him, and I have full trust in Allah. I knew Allah. Allah is the one is giving life. Allah is the one is giving the cure. Allah is the provider. Allah is the most merciful. So I am putting all my trust. The more you repeat what I am saying now, the more you will feel Allah's mercy in your heart. The more you will be connected to Allah. The more you will feel that Allah will answer your call. The more you will feel the feeling of reassurance, the feeling of hope, the feeling of tranquility, the feeling of stability, and that I am not in need of any human being at all. I am only in need to be a sincere, true believer in the oneness of Allah, inshallah. Continue learning about the forms of Allah's mercy. You must know that Allah's reward to the good deed is ten times its values, and maybe Allah can increase for whom He wills. We will know about that fact from Surah number 6, verse number 160. Allah's reward to the good deed is at least 10 times its value. This is the form of Allah's mercy. When you do a good deed, Allah will give you a reward 10 times the value of that good deed, and Allah may increase it more and more for whom He wills.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. من جاء بالحسنة فله عشر أمثالها ومن جاء بالسيئة فلا يجزى إلا مثلها وهم لا يظلمون.
Whoever comes on the day of judgment with a good deed will have 10 times the like thereof to his credit, and whoever comes with an evil deed will not be recompensed except the like thereof, and they will not be wronged.
So actually, sister, this is the form of Allah's mercy, that when you do the good deeds, you will have 10 times its value as a reward from Allah. But for the bad deed, it is the same. Okay, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. So this is the form of Allah's mercy. Also, Allah's mercy, we will learn about Allah's mercy regarding the fact that good deeds erase bad deeds. Okay, this is a clear proof that Allah is the most merciful. Out of His kindness and mercy is giving us the opportunity to erase our bad deeds, to get rid of our sins by doing good deeds. Surah number 11, verse number 114. Surah number 11, 114.
وأقم الصلاة طرفي النهار وزلفا من الليل إن الحسنات يذهبن السيئات ذلك ذكرى للذاكرين.
صدق الله. أوكي. إذن قصة حنين.
and establish prayer at the two ends of the day and at the approach of the night. Indeed, good deeds do away with misdeeds. That is a reminder for those who remember.
So actually, sister, this is the gate of Allah's mercy, which is open to everyone of us to try to erase the bad deeds by doing the good deeds. Again, sister, Allah's mercy is very evident in the fact that Allah forgives man his sins so long man has sincere repentance. This verse we will recite now from Surah number 39, verse number 53. Let us recite this verse first, and then we will learn its meaning and how it is a big gate of Allah's mercy. Surah number 39, verse number 53.
قُلْ يَا عِبَادِيَ الَّذِينَ أَسْرَفُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ لَا تَقْنَطُوا مِنْ رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَغْفِرُ الذُّنُوبَ جَمِيعًا إِنَّهُ هُوَ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Say, O my servants who have transgressed against themselves by sinning, do not despair of the mercy of Allah. Indeed, Allah forgives all sins. Indeed, it is He who is the forgiving, the merciful.
Actually, sister, this verse is a source of hope to every Muslim, as all of us are sinners. But our belief in Allah's forgiveness is encouraging us to repent sincerely to the most merciful. That is to say, never to lose hope in having the paradise as our final destination so long that we repent sincerely to Allah the Almighty. Let us now, sisters, start to learn about Allah's mercy in more details. We will recite now from the Holy Quran, from Surah number 35, Surah Fatir. Verse number 2. This is a very important Quranic law regarding Allah's mercy, and it means that when Allah opens His mercy up to anyone, that person will find it in every situation, condition, and place. We will recite now from Surah number 35, verse number 2.
ما يفتح الله للناس من رحمة فلا ممسك لها وما يمسك فلا مرسل له من بعده وهو العزيز الحكيم.
Whatever Allah grants to people of mercy, none can withhold it. And whatever He withholds, none can release it thereafter. And He is the exalted in might and the wise.
So actually, sister, this is the fact which we must believe in, so that we will always appreciate Allah's mercy and will be looking for His mercy all the time. Allah is clarifying that whatever Allah grants to people of mercy, none can withhold it. And whatever Allah withholds, none can release it thereafter. Okay, what is the meaning of this? This is the meaning of that fact which we are having here on the board. A favor minus Allah's mercy is hardship. A hardship plus Allah's mercy, I will clarify to you all of this with examples. A hardship plus Allah's mercy is a favor. So what is the important now? What is more important, the favor or Allah's mercy? Okay, a favor can be a hardship if Allah's mercy is not there. But Allah's mercy can turn the hardship into a favor. Okay, so you must all the time be looking for Allah's mercy. This is the most important. And the only one who opens the gates of the mercy for us is Allah. Again, Allah is teaching us that worldly enjoyments minus Allah's mercy is misery. While difficult problems plus Allah's mercy is a favor. Why the difficult problems with Allah's mercy problem is a favor? Because number one, you will be rewarded for being patient about the difficult problems. When Allah is testing us with the hardships and difficult problems, okay, we must know that if we are patient and we are accepting Allah's decree, we will be rewarded. This is a favor. Okay, and also when we have the hardships in our life, we always appreciate the favors of Allah. most of the people realize that Allah is the most merciful when they have difficult problems or when they lose the favors. Now I appreciate the health when I am sick. And now I appreciate praying standing when I can't pray standing. Okay, and I appreciate that Allah is always the most merciful, and He was actually showering me with His mercy to be able to pray standing, but now I don't have that favor. But all praise to Allah, because alhamdulillah, I have Allah's mercy. And with Allah's mercy, and with the difficult problem, I am living still in the favors of Allah. I am trying to be more close to Him, because I have all the hope to keep the rest of the favors, because all the favors are up to Allah the Almighty. So the most important gift in this life is Allah's mercy, not the favors. Because you may have favors, you may have worldly enjoyments, but Allah is not showering you with His mercy, you will be living in a misery. And actually, if you look around, you will notice that there are many people whom they are very rich, whom they have everything, but still they are always complaining and they are not happy. And if you try to revise the history, you will know that who committed suicide, who are the people whom they are committing suicide, many of the very rich billionaire people, they are committing suicide. For example, the daughter of Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, her own assis, she only one, who will have all his money after his death. And she married four men, and she failed in all her marriages, then she committed suicide. How this can happen? She has money or wealth which she can help all the Arab countries now. Her wealth can give happiness to billions of human or millions of human people. But she committed suicide. Okay, and this is happening, a lot, but people are not aware of this, and I can't remember other stories, but her story is a famous one. Why she committed suicide? And committing suicide is not just by killing yourself. Those whom they are addicted for the drugs, this is a form of suicide, because you are not aware of the life and they are not enjoying anything. Many people whom they are extremely rich, they are on drugs. Most of the actors whom they sung, like Whitney Houston, she committed suicide. Okay, why? She had the best voice and she was very rich, but she was empty from inside. Okay, this is the problem, sisters. For Muslims or non-Muslims, if you are empty from inside, you can actually never appreciate the favors of Allah. Okay, so now let me clarify in more details to you about that fact that a favor without Allah's mercy is a hardship. A hardship plus Allah's mercy is a favor. Okay, again, we agree that Allah's mercy is the will of Allah to flow happiness, reassurance in the deep inside of the spirit. Now, for example, if we have two persons, one of them is showered by Allah's mercy and the other one is far away from Allah. Okay, either he is a Muslim or non-Muslim, but he is far away from Allah. And actually, what is the difference between a Muslim who is not practicing Islam, and who is not in close contact with Allah? Practicing Islam, number one is prayer, as-salah, because this is the connection with Allah. He is not connected with Allah at all because he is not praying. And number two, he is not reciting the Holy Quran, so he is never connected with Allah. So how he is a Muslim, this is between him and Allah. Allah knows. Because this is Islam. Islam is to be connected with Allah. And this is the importance of the prayers. As-salat is extremely important. So for those Muslims whom they are not praying, what a difference between them and those whom they are not Muslims. Only Allah knows. And they know. Okay, I don't know. Okay. So if we have, so that one who is not praying, as a Muslim or non-Muslim, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, they have the favors of Allah. They have the worldly enjoyment. Because this is the law of Allah. If you work, if you do effort, you will be rewarded for it. Whether you are a believer, disbeliever, Okay, in this worldly life, the reward is up to the effort. This is the justice of Allah. Okay, being believer or not a believer, this is not part of the equation regarding doing an effort and having the equal reward for it. You will have the reward for your effort, but if you are not a true believer in the oneness of Allah, Allah's mercy will not be there. Okay, so if we have two persons, okay, one of them is having, both of them they have wealth. Both of them they have wealth. But one of them is showered with Allah's mercy and the other one not. Regarding the one who is showered with Allah's mercy, his wealth will be a source of enjoyment in the worldly life. He will have halal food or legal food. He will always try to have his wealth from a legal source and to spend it in a legal way. Okay, this means that all his life is legal. This means that he is always following the rules of Allah. Allah will make his wealth a source of comfort for him. Okay, why? Because it is illegal, from a legal source, and he is spending it in a legal way. This is regarding the worldly life. Okay, and Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, he will give the charity. And when he will give the charity, this means that inshallah he will be rewarded in the hereafter. So this means that he will have a good life here because it is up to the rules of Allah, and he will be rewarded for whatever he is spending according also to the law of the charity. This is the one who is showered with Allah's mercy. He will be all the time feeling that my wealth is a source of comfort for me in my life. I enjoy the life in a better way, and still I am helping the poor. All praise to Allah. All praise to Allah, the provider. Okay, the other one who is not close to Allah, and when Allah will not shower him with his mercy, his wealth will be, number one, a way of corruption. Why? Because he will spend his wealth in whatever ways away from Allah. Let us make parties, let us gamble, let us drink, whatever, he can do everything. Let us buy very expensive clothes. Okay, we are not supposed to buy the very expensive, even if we are rich and we have the money. Okay, because this is against the laws of Allah. There are very poor people. We are supposed to have good clothes, but not the very, very expensive. I am not supposed to buy a coat with $3,000 or $5,000. Why? $3,000 or $5,000. If I buy it with $500, this is, you know, the maximum. 500 is very good. Okay, but to buy it with 3,000 and more, the more the people are having wealth, the more they try to buy very, very expensive. You know, you can't imagine about how there are very expensive clothes. Once we were in California and there was a very small jacket, you know, and we asked it how much that jacket is. They said $9,000. So I asked the man why. He told me it is handmade. And there are people whom they are looking for it. It is a very good jacket. You know, there are many people whom they are looking to buy. So don't worry. He told us. I was worried a little bit. I told the man, you know, my husband was telling me, don't discuss. But I asked him, are you sure that this jacket will be sold? He told me, yes. Even the one who is selling is very arrogant. Yes, very arrogant. Tell me, yes, of course, this is handmade. A lot of people are after it. I told him, okay, thank you very much. 9,000 for a jacket. Suppose I am drinking coffee. And then a little of the coffee, you know, came on the jacket. What will be my feeling? I would be very happy still. What is this nonsense? Why $9,000 for a jacket? How many times they will wear the jacket? Those people, they never wear it, you know, all the time. You have to change your clothes very frequently. Okay? So what is the meaning of this? You know, so number one, they will bring, it may bring corruption. Because, okay, they will be actually using that money not in the right way. Also, there are, for the other people, the wealth can be a source of worry and hatred. Okay, why? Because when the people are sting, okay, when they care for the money a lot, Okay, so they don't want to spend the money. They like to collect the money. So the money will be a burden for them in their lives. They are not enjoying it at all. You know, the most important is to call the bank. How much now my bank account? Oh, alhamdulillah, I'm very happy. But you are in need of a jacket with $50. No, I will not buy a jacket. I will not buy anything. I am only feel the real happiness when I learn about my bank account. But who will inherit your bank account? Who will inherit it? Your kids are calling on Allah day and night for you to die. Yes, because they are not enjoying life because of you. They are looking for you to die so that they will inherit your wealth and they will enjoy life after your death. So even the closest people to you are calling on Allah to get rid of you. Okay? Number two, you are not enjoying your wealth. Number three, those people are not giving charity to the poor. So their money will be against them on the day of judgment. So this means that the wealth was not actually a favor. The wealth was actually, as I said, a form of hardship from Allah or a way of misery in this life. So we must always appreciate Allah's mercy, not just the favor. Okay, also suppose you have a family. Okay, if you have a husband and you are a sister whom they are obeying the commands of Allah and Allah is showering you with His mercy, that husband, okay, inshallah, will be a source of kindness, care and respect in spite of the fact there must be problems in the marriage, okay, but still Allah will made him for you, okay, a source of kindness and care and respect, and all the time you will be good together, having a good relation. But for those whom they don't have Allah's mercy, okay, their marriage will be always the source of trouble, disrespect and insecurity. And if you look around nowadays, you will be sure that most of the human beings are not showered by Allah's mercy. Because marriage every day is down. Every day marriage is down. Now in America, most of the high rises are for single people. Okay, they ask for single apartments. Apartments for single. They are not building apartments for families anymore. Yes, this is the request. The request for the future are apartments for single people. And when you try to discuss with anyone, a man or a woman, mostly they tell you, marriage is not a successful project anymore. Anymore. So who will have the kids? How life will continue? We'll adopt a baby. Only one. Yes. If I am looking for a baby, I can have a baby. I can adopt a baby without marriage, without problems, without a baby plus a dog. Excellent life.
I know someone in Houston, very, very rich family, originally from Iraq.
Okay.
So he's like in his late 40s. He got a daughter from a surrogate mother. He bought her.
And really?
Really. And he's born into Islam, but he's not practicing Muslim. But this is
he
a fact.
A daughter?
He has
and
a daughter.
He's not married?
No. And he just, bought it. I mean, he got the surrogate mother, he paid her, and he has a daughter now.
And he's living with the daughter.
It's his daughter, biologically?
Yeah, but it's his daughter, yeah. But without marriage, and with no mother.
But that's better than it's not his daughter. Like, I wouldn't want a man to adopt a girl that's not his.
Yeah.
That would be really strange, you know?
At least
it's his daughter.
To surrogate mother,
strange.
Like, without marriage, I mean...
He's so rich,
he can have as many wives as he wants.
I was going to say, there are a lot of women in Iraq that would probably love to marry
him. Yeah, I'm sure.
No, but you know, the problem is the principle.
Yeah,
what
he believes
in. You know, if I need to have a kid, okay, I will not marry.
Just buy one.
I will buy a kid. Okay, what is the meaning of this? This means that what are his values regarding life? Whatever he wants to have, he will not follow the rules of Allah. He will follow his own rules. If I want to have anything, I can buy it. So I will buy a baby.
So it cost him like $100,000.
I'm sure, yeah.
$100,000?
Think of how many kids you could feed for this.
Such a powerful
verse. What is the problem if he can marry?
Why doesn't he want to get married?
His mother is accepting this.
What can she do?
She can't do anything.
You have to take care of your grandkids. Still your grandkid, you know?
No, but you know, this is very, very strange attitude, actually.
It's shocking. I mean,
it's shocking,
like,
yes.
Every day you hear a good story like...
Desperate for a child. I can't imagine a man being... that desperate for a child.
He has the money. He thought he can arrange for it. So without the hassle of a wife and the problems.
Does he hire
like
a nanny or something?
Yeah, he has. Yeah, she has the 24 hours
nanny.
He has a wife
then.
She has
the
24 hours nanny.
But she has two nannies, like for 24 hours.
She has two nannies. But there is no mother.
No mother.
But he is, but I tell you, but he is very selfish person. He is very selfish.
Yes,
because he is buying a kid and without a mother. Okay?
He's not worried about how it's going to affect her.
You know, this is the proof that he believes that he can control everything.
Yeah,
you know,
this is the issue.
You know, this is the issue that he believes that I can control everything. I can have a baby, I can have two nannies, that baby will grow up in a good environment. She is I am the only one responsible for her, okay? And she's belonging only to me, because there is no mother. Okay.
I also tried to verify. Maybe he had a relationship and he had a daughter from someone, and then he took custody. No, he arranged for the whole thing. You know, surrogate mother. She doesn't know her daughter. Nothing. So this girl should grow up with no. I mean, she would not know her mother.
This is extremely selfish, to tell you the truth.
Because I think with the surrogate mother, the law is that they don't put the mother's name.
Yes. So, no, they don't.
Yeah.
They don't put
So he didn't give that girl, you know, the feeling that I know my mother, at least.
Because
it is always a big problem when you grow up and you don't know your mother. You know, this is always causing a psychological problem for everyone. At least I know my mother, but my mother is divorced, or my mother died, or my mother, she left home. But I have a mother. But not to have a mother and only to have that father, how he is believing that his daughter will love him? When she will grow up and she will know the truth, okay, she will not love him. Because this is not the way to have a kid. Even to have kids, people are not following the law of Allah. They want to have kids through their own points of view. Okay, not according the law of the Creator, Allah, the one who is creating life. No, we will not have kids. What is subhanallah? This is when the people, you know, when the people are having the wealth, but they are not showered by Allah's mercy. This is the reality. And this girl in the sight of Allah is, or this daughter is an illegal daughter. Okay,
but
she is illegal.
The poor girl.
Yes, he will be. No, she is a poor girl, but he is a sinner. Regarding that act,
he is not the daughter.
He is a sinner. He is under the impression that I will have a daughter. I will take care of her. She will be a good.
Money, she will have
yes, she yeah. will have everything because of the wealth. But he is a sinner regarding that fact. So actually, this is the fact that if you have a blessing or you have a favor, and you don't have Allah's mercy, it will be the source of corruption and sadness in your life. This is always happening regarding if you have knowledge, if you have health, or if you have any comfort or blessing, and it is not associated with Allah's mercy, it will be the source of trouble and it will be a hardship for you. So we always must believe that if the door of Allah's grace is open, you will not care if all the doors and windows are locked, sisters. Okay, because Allah's grace is the source of ease, comfort and happiness. And if that door of Allah's grace and mercy is closed, you will benefit nothing if all other doors and windows are opened, for example, the wealth or the kids. Like the same, this is exactly what Ghada said now. That person is having the doors and the windows of all the worldly enjoyments open, but he doesn't have Allah's mercy, the door of Allah's mercy to be opened for him. Accordingly, his life will be actually a sort of hardship for him, under the condition that he can feel the truth. Most of the people are not living the truth. If you tell to that person, or if you say to him, your life is a form of hardship, he will tell you, no, I am enjoying my life, to the maximum. I have my daughter, I have my wealth, I have two nannies, I have a big home. I am extremely happy. I am satisfied. This is not the happiness. Those people, they don't know what is the real happiness. And this is part of the problem of the worldly life. People are confused regarding the reality of happiness. They are under the impression that with all the materialistic enjoyments, I must be extremely happy. So now I am extremely happy. I have everything. No, you are not happy. You don't know what is happiness. Happiness is something totally different. Okay, and this is up to Allah. Allah the Almighty, out of His wisdom, He made the happiness to be only up to Him. When He showered the hearts with the feeling of true reassurance, true peace, true tranquility. When you have the real mental peace, you are the happy person. Most of the human beings, they never live that feelings because they are confusing themselves and they are objecting, the laws of Allah, the Almighty. Inshallah, one day before death, those people will know the truth. This is actually a fact which we must believe in. Most of the human beings nowadays are not following the right path. And they are under the impression that we are happy with the way of life which we choose. Actually, sister, this is wrong. And one day before this, Allah the Almighty will clarify to them that fact, and it is always too late. Okay, so if you are trying to live according to the rules of Allah the Almighty, even if you have hardship in your life or hardships, okay, be sure that being an obedient servant means that the gate of Allah's mercy is open for you. So try all the time to send to yourself the message of hope, reassurance, tranquility, and always to say to yourself, so long I am close to Allah, I am obeying Allah, I am sincere with Allah, this means that I am living in Allah's mercy. I must have good mood, I must be in a good shape, I must have mental peace, I must try to enjoy my life, and inshallah, one day Allah will put an end for the hardship and everything will be alright. But up to that time, I'm still living in Allah's mercy, and I am satisfied, and I am close to Allah, and all praise to Allah, and I am never the one who is looking to be like others whom they are not showered by Allah's mercy, but they have the worldly enjoyments, because in reality they are living the real hardship. Now, sisters, at the end we will have, inshallah, a story which is, inshallah, I will try to give you stories at the end of these classes because we all like stories and it is always very effective. The name of the story or the title is Mercy is All That I Need. Actually, from the very beginning, Fatma's family objected strongly on accepting Ahmed as a future husband for their daughter, saying that it has got to do with his family background. He was from a poor family. And that their daughter will have to suffer for the rest of her life if she were to be with him. Due to family pressure, the couple quarreled very often, as they were colleagues, despite the fact that the girl Fatma admired Ahmed deeply. After a couple of years, Ahmed finally graduated and decided to further his studies overseas. Before leaving, he proposed to Fatima. I am not very good with the words, but all I know is that I love you. If you allow me, I will take care of you for the rest of my life. As for your family, I will try my best to change their mind. Will you marry me? Fatima agreed, and with Ahmed's determination, the family finally gave up and agreed to let them get married. So before Ahmed left, they got engaged. Fatima went out to the working society, whereas Ahmed was overseas, continuing his studies continuing his studies. They used to exchange emails and calls. Although it was hard, both never thought of giving up. One day, Fatima was on her way to work. She was hit by a car that lost control. When she woke up, she saw her parents beside her bed. She realized that she was badly injured. Seeing her mom cry, Fatima wanted to comfort her, but she realized that no voice is coming out of her mouth as she had lost her voice. The doctors said that the impact on her brain had caused her to lose her voice. Telling herself every day that she must forget Ahmed, one day her friend came and told her that he is back. So she asked her friend not to let him know what happened to her. Since then, there wasn't any news of him. A year passed, and her friend came to her with an envelope containing an invitation card for Ahmed's wedding. Fatima was so surprised when she saw her name on the card. When Fatima was about to ask her friend what was going on, she saw Ahmed standing in front of her. He used sign language to tell her, "I have spent a year learning sign language just to let you know that I have not forgotten our promise. Let me have the chance to be your voice. I love you." SubhanAllah. I love you. With that, he put the ring back into her finger. Fatima finally started to feel happy again after long suffering alone. The lesson is that mercy is the most precious gift between a husband and wife. Treasure what you have right now, or else you may regret one day. So again, sister, this is the reality of life. When Allah made her, sister, this is the reality of life. And I want you to focus on a fact which maybe you didn't observe it. When Allah the Almighty put that girl in that hardship, okay, Allah didn't leave her alone. Allah sent her, His mercy to her. His mercy was that person who was from a poor background or a different background, but still he had a good heart. This is how Allah is compensating for us in the hardships. This is how we must all the time believe that Allah is the most merciful. She had a very big car accident, okay, and she lost her voice, but Allah will never leave her alone. Allah sent for her a husband whom every healthy wife is looking for. Okay, in spite of the fact he chose that handicapped wife whom she can't talk and she has no voice. So this is Allah's mercy. With Allah's mercy with a difficult problem is a favor. So all the time look for Allah's mercy and be sure that so long you have a hardship, in Allah, Allah's mercy is there. So focus on Allah's mercy. Don't focus on the hardship. If you focus on Allah's mercy, that Allah, inshallah, is with me. Allah will make it easy for me. Allah will send for me those whom they will be merciful with me. And inshallah, everything will be alright. This will make the hardship easy for you. And be sure that Allah is the most merciful. He will never send the hardship without His mercy. So inshallah, let us all treasure what we have right now. And let us make the dua, inshallah. Make the dua. Always remember that story, that one day we may lose what is very important for us. So if we have it now, okay, let us be thankful to Allah for all what we have. All praise to Allah the Almighty. Alhamdulillah. Let us be thankful to Allah all the time. This is the most important. All the time. Let us pray. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Allahumma salli wa sallim wa barik ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihim. O Allah, our Lord, inspire us with good conduct and save us from our evil. O Allah, our Lord, cause Your love to exceed all loves in us and cause Your fear to be the greatest of all fears in us. O Allah, controller of the hearts, keep our hearts firm in your religion and keep it contented with your worship. O Allah, our Lord, guide us with those whom you have guided. O Allah, our Lord, strengthen us with those whom you have given strength. O Allah, our Lord, take us to your care with those whom you have taken to your care. O Allah, our Lord, we seek your forgiveness. O Allah, our Lord, we seek your forgiveness. O Allah, our Lord, we seek your forgiveness. O Allah, our Lord, we ask you for success on the day of judgment and a life of happiness. O Allah, our Lord, we seek refuge in you from a decline in your favor, from a change in your protection, from your sudden punishment and all your displeasure. Ya Allah, make the best of our deeds our last deeds. Ya Allah, make the best of our life our last moments. Ya Allah, make the best day of our life the day we meet you. O Allah, our Lord, we ask your protection from the torment of the hell, from the torment of the grave, from the trials in lifetime and after this. O Allah, our Lord, we ask you to make our husbands and our offspring comfort to our eyes. O Allah, our Lord, we ask you to increase your blessings and favors upon our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his family and his companions and those who follow them sincerely until the resurrection day. Amen.